Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul on the fifth day of July 2023. You're listening to Financial Survival, and coming back with you today live. We had a couple of days where we snuck out, and hope you all didn't mind too much. Hope you had a great 4th and a great time with your family. And I mean that. I wish the 4th meant what it used to many, many years ago, but nonetheless, hope you enjoyed the day with your family. As I said, it's the 5th day of July already, and we're back into another week and things happening everywhere. And as always, we'll start with the metals and the markets and see what's going on there. The metals kind of strange today. 3 are up and 1 was down. Gold was down 870 to 1917. Silver is up 20 cents to 2314. Platinum was up $2 to 918. Palladium was up 14 bucks to 1232. So we have 3 up and 1 down, which doesn't happen very often. The U.S. markets were all down. The Dow 117 down to 34,300. NASDAQ was down 6.28 to 13,810. S&P was down 5.23 to 44,50. FTSE was down 0.76% to 18,393. DAX was down 0.63% to 15,937. Hang Seng was also down 1.57% to 19,110. Nikkei was down 0.25 to 33,338. So all the markets were down today across the board, across the country, across the world. The 10-year yield was up 0.081 to 3.939%. USDX was up 0.37 to 103.36. And oil was up 2.25 to 72.04. So there you go. All the markets are down. USDX and oil, others are up, and three metals up and one down. So that's the report for today. You know, it's amazing how it's maintaining pretty much the same standard now for quite a while, with gold still very close to a new record, but it's still hanging in over 1900. Anyway, let's go to our guest today. As always, I'd like to have Wendy Wilson with us. She's absolutely she's just a refreshing individual to talk to. When she shares information and with attitude with it, you can tell her heart.
Oh, okay. Hey, this is Wendy Wilson. We lost Pastor Butch temporarily. We're going to get him back. In the meantime, hello to everybody. Good to be back. We're going to be talking about biological age today. And, you know, we can do something about that. If we think we're aging faster, there's something we can do to slow it down, and we're going to talk about that. So our environment does influence our health. So you can just look back at the COVID lockdowns. That's a good example of having a negative result on mental health and things. So our environment does impact us. Now, a recent study that was in the Journal of Science Advances was stating that long-term exposure to greenery or of nature can help us live longer. So we all know that the word lifespan, and we all know what that means, but now science is using that word interchangeably with the word health span. So the research on lifespan has increased as statistics on mortality and longevity have declined over the last 3 years. So we have more people dying than being born in the United States, which is a big red flag. Well, let's look at age markers. This is according to a December 2021 report by the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology. They said science has looked at human biological age markers and is using these as predictors for information that could be leveraged or sold to many areas, such as the health affordability, your health and life insurance companies could be using it, as well as people assessing a health risk, a death prediction, it could be used for that, as well as predicting an estimate on remaining years of life and the cost thereof. How much it's going to cost you to live in your golden years, for instance. Also, it's used for social scores and also for artificial intelligence to use for a diagnosis and treatment plan. So this kind of information is seen as a cutting-edge breakthrough and will have a very profound impact on research and your clinical care. For example, if medications are in short supply, the patients with the best outcome on care are going to receive the drug therapy. However, at the end of the day, these biomarkers can only provide a biological age estimation. However, science is promoting it as if it's a sure thing with a high accuracy rate. So as you can ascertain, this will have a far-reaching implication as we move forward. So what are the markers? Well, according to the science, they are using five groups of aging biomarkers that are supposedly able to offer an accurate biological age. So on the flip side, though, drug companies are concerned with this assessment on the biomarkers as it can impact their drug therapy. So the best interest of the drug companies is not to prevent or reverse aging or to prohibit drug therapy from people who, under certain biomarker protocols, would not qualify for the drugs that they're selling. So just imagine clinical care being decided by a biomarker estimate. And the biological age predictor can have profound impacts. So here are the five groups that they're using. They're using telomeres. We've talked about that before. These are structures found at the end of the chromosomes. They have a specific length of the telomere. So they're longer when you're born and they get shorter as you age. So they look at telomeres. They also look at composite biomarkers, which are indicators for immune system health. And they also look at your DNA, what's inheritable, your epigenetic markers, the ring of DNA. In other words, what's your biological clock look like? That's what they're looking at. Also, they're looking at transcriptional predictors of biological age, also called gene expression, and also functional age predictors like chronological age itself. So those are the five groups that they look at to get an estimate. And let me read you a quote from the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology. They said this: each of these tools has unique capabilities and limitations. For this reason, the most robust option for a future researcher to use is likely an inclusion of multiple biomarkers of aging based on those unique features, end of quote. So basically, this research has been ongoing since 2017. And let's look at what they say about global age. Science has been tracking human age for a while. And with upcoming technology, the status quo is going to change. With the rise in healthcare, the longer people live, the more expensive care is going to be. And in some countries, the elderly outnumber the younger generation and have what is called a global aging trend. Japan is one such country. And some cultures value their elders over others. And the new view on aging is that although it's a natural process and it is seen as a very expensive financial burden and it impairs biological functions and people aren't contributing to society like they once did. So therefore, the pace of aging is being assessed, and this means it's going to be predicted, the quality of life is going to be evaluated, and the societal benefit is going to be established. So this is your social score or trust score, whatever they're going to call it, score, is going to be factoring this in. So these are age assessment tools that will be monitored by artificial intelligence, and the future allotted age of citizens will trend toward a medical exit plan. So if overall health is abysmal and care too expensive, then certain societal protocols are going to take place. And those social score networks will dictate the fate of the elderly. I'm just telling it like it is here. I don't like it any more than you do. And this is what science says about age evaluation. This is from which resource? This is Molecule Aspects of Aging, December 2022. They said, routine clinical assessments of the pace of aging must measure age-related changes and must be simple, accurate, non-invasive, and inexpensive. They must rely on modifiable criteria that could be used as therapeutic targets, end of quote. So euthanasia is a therapeutic target. And the elderly will have frequent screenings with age calculators to update their status, and it can be used for health strategies, whether warranted or not. And this could also occur on a subtle level when older patients maybe see their general practitioner. The physician may say, well, let's just go ahead and get this scan over with, and you can be on your way. So the science is leaving no stone unturned here, and this global age trend assessment will include your genetic features and factors, measure how your environment impacts your health, and also your age and how you are aging. So in other words, let's say you're 45 and you think you're in pretty good health, but maybe you've been abusing alcohol or tobacco, then your biological age will be more like 55. Or let's say you're 45 and you don't do drugs or alcohol or tobacco, you exercise on a regular basis and you eat a clean diet, well then your age assessment would be more like 35. So science has been also looking into elements that can reverse aging. On one published report, it was in the Journal of Science Advances. It showed that where we live can impact our aging process. Here's a quote from, this is Dr. Lifeng Hauer, Northwestern University School of Medicine, who says, our study shows that being near green spaces caused some biological or molecule changes that can be detected in our blood system. He goes on to say, biological age really depends on what you do daily, including what you eat and how physically active you are and the toxins you encounter, end of quote. So living in areas that have green spaces help us age slower. Rural areas with trees and fields reduce stress on the body and helps us age at a slower pace. And science has seen the reversal on studies such as blood work. These actually proved it. So green spaces can modify gene expression, which science uses as a predicting tool for age as well. So what is the lifespan? Well, life should end when God says it does. That's when it should end. So we live in an age of total control. And manage the stress in these times. It's taking long walks in the woods and maybe praising God's name while you're in the woods. It spiritually connects you with God and lifts your spirit and your soul and improves your health. Science can't really explain that totally, but that's what happens. So I like to use God's herbs too to help reduce stress if you feel stressed. One of my favorites is valerian root. The other one is lobelia. The valerian root takes tension out of the nervous system and Lobelia takes tension out of muscles. So it relaxes, but without sedation, which, you know, you're still alert. You can still do your normal activities, but you just feel better. And you can cope with stress better. So if you're interested in checking those formulas out, as well as the body food mix, which has natural B vitamins to help the nervous system out, the folks at Apothecary Herbs can help you. They have a free catalog. You can give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., it's 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. And, of course, the web address, The Power Herbs, The Power Herbs. Get a free catalog and be empowered, because cleanse and nourish. You know, walking in the woods is good, but getting the toxins out is even better. And put the nutrition in and the body heals itself. You'd be amazed how that empowers your whole system to balance and heal. Balance is important. And we're off kilter these days. I think people need to get back in touch with nature and connect. Walking in the woods is a good thing. That's why a lot of people go camping and get out of town. This is why the ancients left Rome. And they went to other resort towns to vacation. They got out of the hustle and bustle of the city, and they went to vacation spots. And that's what we're doing today as well. So I think people need to just keep in mind, clean, healthy diet, getting regular exercise, get outside in the greenery, you know, take your shoes off, wiggle your toes in the grass kind of thing. Ground that electricity that you have in your body, and you'll just feel better. Hey, did we get Pastor Butch back yet? I'm sorry, we're still having trouble connecting with Pastor Butch. I did miss his commentary on this today. He'll have to tell me what he thought off air. But basically, we have lots of power. We need to exercise that. We have to also first take responsibility for our health and not push it off onto somebody else who probably really doesn't care all that much. So, take the power back. That's our first duty, right? The Lord expects us to be responsible for our health and the body where the Holy Spirit dwells, the temple there. So this is how he says to do it. Herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. And God can't lie. You'll see that through from Genesis to Revelation. So you'll see that in Genesis chapter 1, 29 and 30. You'll see that in Psalms 104, 14. You'll see that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. And Revelations chapter 22, verse 2. But you also see it in other areas of the Bible where good examples of herbs for medicinal purposes. So don't neglect the wisdom of God. And he says it's right under your nose. And I have seen firsthand the miracles that herbs can provide people. You know, God did that. It's not anything we're doing. He made the human body. He made the herbs. And so he knows what we need. And it's a balancing. Usually it's minerals. People are way off on minerals. Could be other things too. But, you know, nutrition helps the body make hormones, helps it, you know, get rid of toxins, helps the immune system be strong, helps us, you know, to think better. Once you got good nutrition going in, you got more red blood cells, you got more iron in the blood cells, more oxygen delivery throughout the body. So, you know, it's less likely you'll get sick. Okay. Certain diseases don't like oxygen. So make sure you're getting that nutrition in. Cleanse and nourish. That's my thing. Get the toxins out, put the nutrition in, and you got most internal medicine issues whooped. So give us a call at Apothecary Herbs if you want a free catalog. That's the first step. And it's not rocket science. You'll learn how to do it. It's not that complicated. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. If you want to jump on the web, if you do have email, sign up for the free newsletters, and you'll get free information on health stuff each week. And it's opt-in, opt-out, anytime you'd like. So thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletters, American Survival and Health Quest, and be empowered. That's the first step, taking responsibility. That's it. Taking responsibility. Oh, my goodness. I did miss Pastor Butch today. I always like hearing his comments. So I look forward to next Wednesday, which will be here in a skinny minute. And we'll have some more information to empower you then. Till next time, I'm Wendy Wilson. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
All righty, folks, we are back. We're being joined by one of the nicest ladies I've ever met in my life. Her name is Melody Cederstrom. And she absolutely is up, very true, an upfront, honest kind of lady. And I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it. If you ever had a chance to be around her personally, you'd like being around her. She likes to laugh and joke and have a good time. Just a kind of lady. But anyway, when it comes to doing business, she can be serious enough to tell you the truth and help you get lined out. And you need to give her a call at 800-375-4188. Matter of fact, I had a compliment from a gentleman that runs ACN Network out of the Northwest states. Tom Reed said, I think I made 40 email to you, Melody. He said these people love the broadcast we're doing together, so I'll let you know that.
That's fabulous. So, absolutely fabulous.
There you go. And I've done my share of talking already, so I'll let you get started on some of the stuff you want to share, then we'll get into the news.
Okay, well, I'm sure you already went over the market reports and everything like that.
I did.
And I just saw this one headline about Biden where he's using a CPAP machine for sleep apnea. But they said they've been using it for a long time. But that can affect your mental disorder. You know, you could have it, you know, if you don't get enough oxygen up there when you're sleeping and so forth, you know, it could have an impact. But he'd be the last person I would expect to have sleep apnea.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that either. Yes.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, maybe he's getting oxygen at night. Maybe it's not sleep apnea. Maybe it's real oxygen that he's getting. Who knows? But, yeah. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. It's going to be a quiet week this week and next week. I saw the S&P was a little changed. You know, and again, it's so ridiculous. Everybody is weighing in on new Powell comments. I did pull off an interesting report this morning. I'm not sure And it was about all the different bailouts that the FDIC did during the collapse of the bank. And it's like, you know, they just never, ever come out with the truth, do they? They just refuse to tell us the truth. The FDIC, they actually accidentally released a list of companies that it bailed out for billions in the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Hey, they've saved thousands of small tech startups and prevented what could have been a catastrophic blow to a sector. You know, a lot of people would say, well, gee, what's wrong with that? I don't understand it, Butch. You know, the decision to guarantee all accounts above the $250,000 federal deposit insurance limit also helped bigger companies that were in no real danger. Sequoia Capital, the world's most prominent venture capital firm, got covered the $1 billion it had with the lender. Canzon Limited, a Beijing-based tech company that runs mobile recruiting app Boss Jipin, received a backstop for more than $900 million.
Wow.
A document from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which the agency said it mistakenly released unredacted in response to a Bloomberg News Freedom of Information Act request, provides one of the most detailed glimpses yet into the bank's big customers. The FDIC, which was selling off pieces of the bank since its failure, asked that Bloomberg destroy and not share the depositor list, saying the agency intended to partially withhold some of the details from the document because it included confidential commercial or financial information. The agency subsequently declined to comment on the substance of the information in the document. U.S. regulators' decision to declare systemic risk exception and make all depositors at Silicon Valley Bank whole came after a white-knuckled weekend. Even Yellen comes out and, you know, she says, including backstopping all the depositors, it was necessary. This is just an example of how much they don't want you to know. I don't know why people can't grasp this. You think everything that people, all the things that we do here, that's just a thumbnail of the information that they hold and that we don't know. I mean, this just explains it. It just tells you how close, how dysfunctional these banks are. But also these companies, these corporations are so secure, and banks knowing that the government will step in and bail them out. It's just like, you know, doesn't anybody get tired of it? $1 billion Sequoia, the firm famous for backing iconic companies, including Apple, Google. Hey, can't you go to Apple and get a loan? I mean, call in those loans that you have backed them. At Altos Labs, a life sciences startup that works on cell regeneration, had $680 million in deposits with the bank. Privately held company has raised $3.27 billion from billionaires. Payment startup Marqeta, Inc. had $634 million at the bank. IntraFi Network provides deposit services to financial institutions at $410 million. You know, it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. It's just enough to get your blood pressure raised. Butch.
Yeah, there's no end to it, Melody. You could dig on it for days, never get to the bottom of it. I mean, they built it for how many years now? Layer after layer after layer that they added on to it. And people still don't pay attention. The load may get heavier, nobody pays attention. Another layer goes on next week, next month, next year. You know, it just keeps going and going and going. That's just the way it is.
It's just the way
many years. Yeah. Many, many years.
And it doesn't matter if it's China. They'll bail China out, too. You know, all this talk about, oh, we need to get tough with China. Oh, we need to do this. We need to do that with China. That's baloney. Plain, downright baloney.
We have built China and Russia both. America did that. We helped them to where they are today. They did that. And it was started with China, but created by kind of Nixon, maybe before that. But we helped build China. You know that as economic power. So we have built our own Frankenstein, so to speak, and the terminals.
Absolutely. You know, and it's just, you know, and it's the taxpayers. We have financed our demise.
Yes, we have.
And yet we just go on and like it's just another new day in America. And no one, very few, of course, people listening to this program, your program, and a lot of other alternative programming understands, you know, what happens. But anyway, just needed to get that off my chest.
You feel better now?
I do.
Good, good. Now we'll move on to something really important. Ha ha. No, just kidding.
Well, that was important.
Yes, it was. I'm just teasing you, for goodness sake. But anyway, this information that you shared is something that you've been involved in a long time. You've seen layer after layer. But trying to get people to understand even the top layer is almost impossible. They've been blinded that long. It's hard to see that. But, you know, we go back to what happened over the weekend in Russia. Got a few stories here I want to share with people. I hope to make a few points I think are important. Maybe it was a for real move. What I'm reading here now possibly could have been a for real move. Putin wanted to wipe out Wagner chief Prigozhin during mutiny attempt, says Lushenko. Belarusian President Lushenko said he persuaded Russian President Vladimir Putin not to wipe out mercenary chief Prigozhin in response to what the Kremlin cast as mutiny that pushed Russia towards civil war. Putin initially vowed to crush the mutiny, comparing it to the wartime turmoil that ushered in the revolution of 1917 and then a civil war. But hours later, a deal was clinched to allow Prigozhin and some of his fighters to go to Belarus. Prigozhin flew to Belarus from Russia on Tuesday. While describing his Saturday conversation with Putin, Lushenko said the Russian criminal slang phrase for killing someone equivalent to the English phrase to wipe out. I also understood a brutal decision had been made, and it was the undertone of Putin's address to wipe out the mutineers, Lushenko told a meeting of his army officials and journalists on Tuesday, according to Belarusian state media. Now, move on from that. Senior Russian general knew about Prigozhin's plan, New York Times reports. General Sergei Shoigu, the deputy commander of Russia's military operations in Ukraine, had evidence and advanced knowledge that the mercenary chief Prigozhin was planning a rebellion against Moscow defense officials, the New York Times reported on Tuesday. Newspaper cited U.S. officials briefed on U.S. intelligence regarding the matter, reported that the officials were trying to learn if General Shoigu, the former top Russian commander in Ukraine, helped Mr. Prigozhin's actions last weekend. Prigozhin flew in exile in Belarus on Tuesday under a deal that ended a brief mutiny by Wagner fighters over the weekend, as Vladimir Putin praised his armed forces for averting a civil war. The New York Times reported that American officials also said there were signs that other Russian generals also may have supported Prigozhin. Reuters could not independently verify the report. The Pentagon did not immediately respond to Reuters' request for comment. The Kremlin and the Russian Defense Ministry also did not immediately reply to Reuters' queries. Shoigu, nicknamed General Armageddon by the Russian media, had been put in overall charge of Ukraine operations in October. But in January, Russian Defense Major Shoigu appointed Chief of the General Staff Gerasimov to oversee the campaign, with Shoigu standing on as his deputy. Then it moves on, Melody. Putin's General Armageddon vanishes in Kremlin purge, and made claims he was in on the Wagner Group mutiny. Remember, Putin's General Armageddon has reportedly vanished and made claims he was in on the Wagner Group armed revolt. Berzerkin speaking after seizing a Russian military headquarters in Rostov. A U.S. official said Serverkin had advanced knowledge of the world warlord's plan to rebel against Shergo and chief of the Armed Forces General Gershomov over the dismal war in Ukraine, New York Times reports. Intelligence officers are said to be probing whether the former top Russian commander helped Berzerkin's actions last weekend, which left Russia on the brink of civil war. American officials said there were signs that that other Russian generals may have also supported the Wagner loss, their boss. Rumors are swirling that Serverkin, 56, could be under interrogation of his knowledge of the plot to oust Russian top military leaders. The pro-war Rybar Telegram channel said Serverkin, a commander known for his ruthlessness and brutality, has not been seen since Saturday. The Military Link channel also said the whereabouts of General Armageddon is not known for certain. There is a version that he's under interrogation. Before vanishing, Serverkin issued a call to Wagner fighters to give up and return to bases before it was too late. So we'll see. That's kind of a little more involved than maybe what we thought it was, Billy. If it's true and other generals are involved in it, that really is a shakeup with Putin.
Yeah, well, if I was those people, I'd have one of those food testers and drink testers following me around.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think if Putin is going to retaliate against them, it's not going to be a big thing, and it will be privately, and when they least expect it, he'll get even.
But now this is really should tickle all of us to death, Emil. This is such good news after Ukraine failed to capitalize on Wagner's turmoil. U.S. sends 500 million more in weapons.
Oh, boy.
Doesn't that make you just feel so good inside? Just on the heels of New York Times observation, the Ukraine forces failed to capitalize on the weekend turmoil in Russia of the Wagner uprising. The Biden administration announced a new 500 million military aid package on Tuesday. What budget? What shortfall? What are you talking about? America, we got money coming out of our ears. We just tossed out the window. We find trillions of dollars laying around somewhere. I mean, the Department of Defense just finds it being here, being there. Somebody threw it in the corner somewhere, didn't know we had it. I mean, this is America don't need money. Why are they taxing us? First, in a Sunday report on the New York Times, cited anonymous American officials and independent analysts as acknowledging that there did not seem to be any immediate defensive gaps to exploit in Russian lines. They said that, according to preliminary analysts, no Russian units were pushed back or abandoned their positions in the east and the south, despite the Wagner rebellion having been a major distraction for Russian command Friday and Saturday. The U.S. officials went on to say that, at least for the near future, the front lines of Ukraine are likely to remain unchanged. But don't worry about it. We sent them $500 million more in weapons. And we can afford it, folks. My goodness, that's just a minor increase in your taxes next year. Don't worry about it. You won't even notice it on your paycheck. You won't notice it.
Nope. And we're helping Ukraine save their democracy.
That's what we're doing. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. While our constitutional republic is going to hell, we're trying to save their democracy.
Yeah. Everybody else's democracy. Yeah. Yeah.
And Zelensky says, no elections in Ukraine until war is over. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Surprise, yep.
Zelensky's five-year term is due to end in 2024, but his comments suggest that it will be extended indefinitely if the war isn't over by then. He made similar comments about Ukraine's parliamentary elections, which are due to be held in October of this year, in an interview with the Washington Post last month. When asked if parliamentary elections will be held this fall, Zelensky said, if we have martial law, we cannot have elections. The Constitution prohibits any elections during martial law. If there's no martial law, then there will be. However, in the latest interview, he expressed hope that there would be peace in Ukraine next year and life would be returning to normal. I got to say this. After a war like this, the nation will never get back to normal. It may rebuild, but nothing back to normal again, ever again. You don't go back to normal after COVID, folks. We'll never go back to normal in any way again. Same thing with the war in Ukraine. Those people may get used to the change, and they might rebuild some things, may get back into eating some jobs, but normal is over for them. Go ahead, Melody.
And, you know, it's interesting, too. It also raises the question, you know, because we talk about, you know, we'll probably be in a – maybe. I mean, I'm just speculating here. We could be in a war by our next election, and who better than Biden to follow the same. And it's kind of interesting is maybe this is a test to see how it works for Ukraine. We'll be right back.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, babe, don't say babe. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you lots of things today, lots of interesting news articles. But for your gold and silver, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Butch?
Let you know that some people pay attention. Tom Reed's, he'd been calling you pretty soon to order some medals, by the way. So
all right,
that too. And folks, okay. Tom Reed's is a good guy, and he's a
very nice gentleman.
He is a nice guy. He has several stations across the country in the northwest. A good fellow. So if he's ordering, believe me, he knows what he's doing. Portland, Oregon, is losing residents wary of crime and high housing prices. Mark Rogers has made a list of things he misses about Portland. It's vegan restaurants, Powell's bookstore, public transit, and the things he doesn't, having his things stolen, stepping in human excrement, extreme politics. The 44-year-old artist moved across the country to Fort Wayne, Indiana last year. I don't want to talk trash about my home city, even though there's trash everywhere, Rogers said. I still love Portland, even though it's got some problems, and I wouldn't have left it if housing prices weren't so high. Portland is losing residents for the first time in years. Long known for its being clean, safe, and hip, Oregon's most populous city is now struggling with serious crime and homelessness issues. Meanwhile, despite the lifestyle problems, housing continues to cost more in Portland than in many other parts of the country. Portland lost 33% of its population between 2020 and 2022, according to U.S. Census. A drop of about 17,400 to 635,000 was the sixth largest decline among the 50 largest states. The local officials who grapple with 23% population surge between 2020 are now find themselves trying to keep residents from leaving. Mayor Ted Wheeler, a Democrat, has come under increasing pressure to address rising violent crime and sprawling homelessness. So, folks, it's shame. And I'm not just, it's the way it is. It's a liberal, left-leaning city, and we have states, and so is Oregon, the state. It's Democrat-controlled, and people are leaving with the crime and just plain filth. And I was listening to another gentleman today, Melody, who went to New York City. He said the whole city was stinking. I mean, it physically stunk because of the trash and streets and things. New York City was once called the what? The Big Apple, and there's a place that everybody wanted to go see. Like San Francisco used to become a show place. They said New York City now, when you walk down the street, I guess you probably get used to it after a while, but it smells. Isn't that sad to say that?
It really is.
You know, I mean, America once was a place that people actually enjoyed coming to visit and enjoyed what they saw. And they marveled at even people, like I said, New York or San Francisco and other big cities that were clean and neat and well-run. America has declined a lot in my lifetime, in the last 50 years especially. And New York City and Manhattan, if you're going to drive in New York City, you'll be charged extra in tolls to enter Manhattan. Now, folks, this is all part of the plan to get you out of your automobiles and on bicycles or on foot or public transit. This is all about the 15-minute cities they're working on. I promise you, folks, it's all ties together. New York has received a critical federal approval for its first in the nation plan to charge big tolls to drive into the most visited parts of Manhattan, part of an effort to reduce traffic, improve air quality, and raise funds for the city's public transit system. I just told you, folks, they're going to go bicycles, walking, or public transit. The program could begin as soon as the spring of 2024, bringing New York City into line with places like London, Singapore, and Stockholm that have implemented similar tolling programs to highly congested business districts. Under one of the several tolling scenarios under consideration, drivers could be charged as much as $23 a day to enter Manhattan south of 60th Street, which with the exact amount still to be decided by the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, which is overseeing the long-stalled plan. Melody, their movement is closer and closer to public transit or foot traffic, or I said bicycles. They're going to go green, whether they like it or not. Automobiles are going to be a thing that's going to be very restricted if allowed at all in certain places.
I mean, I don't have a problem going green and overthinking if they were just doing it under the real reasons and, you know, trying to make things better and nicer and so forth. But in the meantime, while they're trying to push that on everybody, the whole system is ready to collapse along with the infrastructure of this nation. So what should come first? Our infrastructure should come first. The government should be forcing these airlines to dress up these airports. Government shouldn't have to pay to clean up these airports and make them decent. I mean, my gosh, when I talk to people and they travel all over the world and they compare our airports to airports around the world, we are a third world nation. And it's a That's sign of the decline. I mean, it's the corruption, everything else that comes with it.
It is. It truly and sadly is.
So, yeah, I mean, yes, I would love to have, you know, hey, it would be great if you could do an electric vehicle and so forth and whatnot to make things better there and quality and all this kind of stuff. But not the way they're doing it and for the lies that they're pushing it and the amount of money that's being spent that goes into the pockets of a few. And it doesn't help anyone.
And with the infrastructure, the electrical infrastructure failing right now, they can't keep
up
with
air conditioning.
So how can you plug cars into it too? Come on, let's get real here, folks. It's not going to work.
So if you're going to do it correct. But we know politicians don't know how to do anything correct.
Except tax.
You're right. Tax and campaign.
And promise. Wow. Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida, Republican, and Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, Republican, will seek to defund the office of the director of the Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Explosives under a new little-used House rule. Go, 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 you two. The leadership at the ATF has proven unable or unwilling to see that the ATF respect the law, the rule of law, and not act where Congress has not legislated. Instead, the ATF abuses rulemaking authority, legislating through the executive and making a mockery of separation of powers maintained by the Constitution, mandated by the Constitution, I'm sorry. In February, internal documents outlined the ATF's Federal Firearms License Inspection Guidance were leaked to the press. The documents revealed that the Biden administration's zero-tolerance policy had made it easier to revoke the license of gun store owners. In their letter, Gates and Green noted that under the policy, mere clerical errors could result in such revocation. The ATF has even made it a matter of official policy to shut down gun stores by making perfection the standard in record-keeping, a standard the ATF itself could not meet, they wrote. Since the Biden administration has announced its new zero-tolerance policy in 2021, federal firearms licenses have faced the highest revocation rate in 16 years. They continue, the ATF has shown itself incapable of operating within the confines of its statutory authority, and we must force a change. Hence, I write to inform you that I intend to use the Holman Rule to defund the Office of the Director of ATF in the next available appropriations period. Go, 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 Marjorie, and go, Matt. Go for it. Good for you. I'm all for that. Melody?
No comment.
No comment. Okay. Plead the fifth. All right. Illinois bill would allow... Now, listen to this headline. This is unbelievable. An Illinois bill would allow illegals to become police officers. Uh-oh. Democrats in the Illinois House and Senate recently passed a new law, Bill 373751, to allow some work-eligible non-U.S. citizens, let me repeat that, non-U.S. citizens to work as police officers across the state. Now, I'm sure folks, they'll understand the rights of the people, the Constitution, Bill, right? They know all about that, I'm sure. They'll be well-schooled. Even though the federal law prohibits non-U.S. citizens from working in law enforcement, Illinois is just bucking these rules by trying to make it easier for illegal aliens to enforce the law, which is ironic considering they broke the law to get here in the first place. Let that sink in. Illegals enforcing law. Criminals, they've been doing that for years. Politicians are criminals, they get by with it, they enforce laws. But the illegals coming in, knowingly breaking the law, and now they're going to be giving them a badge and gun. Melly, what could go wrong with that?
Let me count the ways.
The legislation reinserts the provisions of the engrossed bill and adds that an individual against whom immigration action has been deferred by the U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services under the federal Deferred Action for Child Arrivals (DACA) process is allowed to apply for the position of police officer, deputy sheriff, or special policeman, subject to specified requirements, effective January 1st, 2024. There you go. That should make us all sleep better in bed at night. Comments, Melody, at all?
No, sir.
RFK Jr., Second Amendment is settled. Not taking anyone's guns. I like a lot of these things this guy's saying, folks. And I like his uncle who was killed and assassinated on some of the stands he took, but I still don't trust him. During a Monday conversation with Elon Musk, Democrat presidential hopeful Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said the Second Amendment is settled and that a Kennedy administration will not be trying to take away guns. Dr. Benjamin Braddock quoted RFK Jr. saying, "My position on guns is that I'm not going to take away anybody's guns. I'm a constitutional maximalist, and the issue has been settled by the Supreme Court." Well, I'll add to that, the Supreme Court has no ruling on this. The Bill of Rights, Article 2, ruled on that a long time ago. The Supreme Court should have no say in that at all. It's done. Anyway, he went on to address school shootings, noting that he is ready to take great strides to harden schools and eliminate shootings. RFK Jr. said, "I understand personally the heartbreak of gun violence. We have to stop school shootings. If it comes down to protecting schools like we protect airlines, we'll do that." He spoke beyond school shootings to mass shootings in general, noting that he will thoroughly investigate any role that psychiatric drugs may be playing in high-profile shootings. Now, there you go. Every shooting, almost every mass shooter, especially in the schools, folks, were given some kind of psychiatric drug, like Ritalin or different things that they've been on for years. Yes, he's saying right that he's the first one ever heard say this I know of about let's not blame the guns, let's find out if drugs are involved. Over-the-counter, the prescription drug, Melody, that affect people's minds. That's a very wise thing he said. You agree?
I agree. Yes, I do.
He said, we have to look at the role of psychiatric drugs prior to the introduction of Prozac. We had almost no events like this. Prior to the introduction of Prozac, we had almost no events like this. So there you go. And on to another issue about him. RFK Jr. angers military a military-industrial complex with call to ditch forever war, de-escalate with Russia. Robert Kennedy Jr. is actually a viable candidate for the 2024 Democratic presidential election, or nomination, I should say. Still, he won't get much traction because of the party machine, its allies and CIA-controlled media, and the deep state won't ever let him get close to the Oval Office, not as president, at least. That's because he, like former President Donald Trump, is no fan of the forever war mindset of the American deep state. And I just said as much during a major foreign policy speech that almost no one heard or knows about. Referring to him as a rising star, LifeSite News noted that RFK Jr., who has earned significant favorability against the incumbent, Joe Biden, since he launched his left-field candidacy in April, argued for peace and de-escalation amid rising tension with Russia, in a speech heavily referencing the policies advanced by his uncle, former U.S. President John Kennedy. In a speech at the St. Anselm College in New Hampshire, Kennedy, an author, environmental lawyer, and prominent vaccine skeptic, expressed his belief that together we can restore America to its awesome vitality of the original Kennedy era through de-escalation and trust building. As in my uncle's time, nuclear tensions are an extreme and a dangerous level, Kennedy Jr. said, harkening back to JFK's peace speech he gave at the American University of Washington in June 1963, just a few months before he was assassinated in Dallas, Texas, in November of that year. So he's treading on very thin ice. Talking about coming down on the military-industrial complex, folks, that's huge. And Dwight Eisenhower, before he left office, warned about the same thing that Kennedy's talking about right now. He warned about it back in the 1950s. Watch out. It's here. Melody, anything to add to that?
No, I agree. It's here.
And running out of time so quickly, I just briefly hit this. Homosexual activists are upset with Texas because they signed a bill that would not allow gender-affirming teachings into children in the state. So they hacked into the some government buildings in Texas. They actually had somebody break into them. We have decided to make a message towards the U.S. government. The coup wrote, Texas happened to be the one of the big, largest states banning gender-affirming care, and for that, we have made Texas our target. F the government, it says. I didn't say that. They said it. There we go. Go ahead, Melvin.
Well, I was going to say something, but I better not. I only will say we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.